Hey folks, thanks for tuning in to Blair's Fairy Tales, where me and my brother, along with various guests, take you on wonderful, fantastic adventures from our minds. So I invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the stories. Hello there, listener. For the time being, I invite you to sit back and relax as we travel together into another time and another place. A place of magic and mystery. A place of great battles and even greater friendships. Where elves dance gracefully and sing harmoniously. And where orcs hunt in tribes following the migrating herds of the wild beasts across the lowlands. Two dwarfs who remain stalwart within their empires of stone, devoted to their old ways that have kept their land safe for over a millennia. This is the world of Volaron. Now, Volaron is a realm that is adjacent to our own, and looks much like ours. Volaron is a realm with a very diverse landscape. From lush green forests and jungles, to scorching hot deserts, to chilly snow-capped mountain peaks. However, our tale begins in a small town. A modest town, a humble town, that is tucked away deep in the Crescent Witch Forest that borders the large nation of Jerkshan. There, resting under the shadow of the large hinder trees, was a gnome village. The name of this modest village was known as Bristlebriar Tree Vale Acorn Crest Plant Home of the Great Root. Now, to us, that may seem like a mouthful, but when the gnomes settled this village, they asked for everyone's input on what the town should be called. And since they didn't want to offend anyone, they decided on using every single suggestion given. Now, for the few travelers who would visit this place, they in time shortened the name simply to Bristlebriar, much to the distaste of the populace. Bristlebriar was home to a teeming gnomish community. All gnomes here took great pride in their little village. They were proud guardians of the glade that they had inhabited. In fact, four times a year, they would plan a party for the town, just to celebrate how great and humble they really were. The gnomes of Bristlebriar were like most forest gnomes, in the fact that they loved the simple life. They enjoyed living in the small town, and in most forest gnome communities, when a village or a town would become too overpopulated, the town would split in half, and half of them would adventure off to find a new home for themselves, while the other half would stay behind. Forest gnomes are also gifted in the art of magic. However, they see magic as something that one should only use in extreme cases, and absolutely never for everyday use. Most times, magic is only permitted when they are hiding themselves or their village with various spells of illusion. That way, they could only be found when they wanted to be. Yes, all gnomes from Bristlebriar were proud, happy, and content, all except for one gnome, one troublemaker. His name, Bartimus Figleaf, son of Malorn and Mallory Figleaf, and he was not at all content with the slow roll of life in the glade. His father, who dealt in the selling of fig leaves, on one occasion took his young son, Bartimus, with him to the northern city of Steamground, a city that was also inhabited primarily by gnomes. But these gnomes were very much different than the gnomes of Bristlebriar. These were iron gnomes, and they were the polar opposite of their forest cousins. Iron gnomes stood a little taller and were more stockier than their kin in the woods. They were tinkerers, miners, craftsmen, and their belief in magic was also different. Some would study and train and become great mages, enchanters, and summoners, harnessing the power of magic and bending it to their will. Now, while in Steamground, young Bartimus was filled with wonder and amazement. He saw the many inventions of his kin to the north. He saw great mechanical constructs with spider-like legs that would carry the gnomes from place to place throughout the large city. There were also trains that zoomed and zimmed and whizzed about the city, transporting either citizens or large gears and cogs that were being taken to build even larger machines. There were also street mages and wizards that were attempting to dazzle the crowds with their skills in hope of gaining some coin. On the way back home to Bristlebriar, Bartimus plagued his father with a slew of questions about the gnomes of Steamground. His father, not wanting his son to be led astray, had to lecture his son as to why the gnomes of Bristlebriar, Tree Vale, Acorn Crest, Plant Home of the Great Root, were so much better than those gnomes of Steamground. However, Bartimus was not convinced. He was not only amazed at the great inventions he saw, but when he witnessed those street mages performing brilliant illusion spells, his mind became ablaze. Bartimus was unsure as to exactly why the gnomes from his home, Bristlebriar, didn't perform such amazing spells. His father just looked at him and shook his head and said,
"My son, magic is dangerous and should only be used in the most dire of circumstances."
Bartimus, refusing to accept that answer, began reading. He would frequent the local reading store in his village often and would ask for strange books. He would ask for books on spells, mathematics, physics, and steam engineering, and histories of other races. To the young gnome's dismay, his town reading store didn't have many books besides ones about plant life or how to grow the best tomatoes. The store did have some books on spells, but those books were very few and far between. Bartimus then turned to the few travelers that would pass by Bristlebriar in order to get other books. Once, when he was old enough, he convinced his father that it would be safe to allow him to make the trade journey to Steamground all by himself. After selling all the fig leaves, Bartimus stayed an extra 3 days. He bought books upon books and found several neat inventions for sale. In the end, Bartimus spent his entire savings in Steamground. Though he was careful not to spend his father's trade earnings, even still, when Bartimus returned back home to Bristlebriar, arms full of books, his family thought it best to never send him there alone again. Bartimus was upset, of course, but he knew that this would only last for a little while longer, for soon he would come of age and leave this town and set out for grander and finer things. Twilight of a new day slowly began to creep forth, waking the sleeping town of Bristlebriar, Tree Vale, Acorn Crest, Plant Home, Great Root. The light began to fill the homes and tickle the noses to rouse the tired gnomes. The gnomes of Bristlebriar didn't believe in alarm clocks. They chose to wake up whenever the sun did. After all, the sun had been around much longer than they, so it probably knew best. As the light stretched out, crawling slow like spilled molasses, it found one room in the town already empty. This was the room of Bartimus Figleaf. The room was well kept. Everything was neat and folded. The closet was open and bare, as too were the end table, and if one were to take a look in the dresser, you would find that they too were empty. Then, one by one, then two by two, the roads and streets of the small gnome village began to fill with citizens. A soft buzz of excitement began to hum over the town. Today was a special day, of course. It was naming day. When young forest gnomes who are coming of age get to choose a name for themselves, signifying that they are their own person and get to set out on their own. A name once chosen is a gnome's for the rest of their life. Sometimes it would also be a hint as to what profession a young gnome was interested in. As in Bartimus's family, they were the fig leaves, and Bartimus's parents harvested and sold various types of fig leaves. Bartimus's older brother, on his naming ceremony, chose the name of Cobbler, and now works with the other gnomes in town in shoemaking. His older sister chose to remain a fig leaf, which brought great joy to Bartimus's parents. Now the town folk began to enter the town center, where there stood Bartimus, all dressed up and ready for the ceremony. It was odd to the gnomes when one would get up before the sun, but they had begun to expect odd stuff from young Bartimus. Still, they murmured as they entered and shot cold stares in his direction.
Look who thinks he knows more than the sun,
one villager said.
Perhaps next time he will claim to be better than the moon.
They chuckled to themselves as they found a place to sit. The fig leaves made their way in with the rest and sat down by their son. Once everyone had a place to sit, they all waited for the mayor, who was to begin the ceremony. The fig leaves and all the other gnomes gathered around a stage that had been erected the night before, where the mayor would conduct the ceremonies. After several long minutes of waiting, he finally showed up. The mayor was a plump little gnome. He had a thick mustache that looked like a fat white caterpillar resting on his upper lip. Usually he dressed in average colors of browns and grays, but today he wore a striking black suit and had a matching black top hat that sparkled when hit by the sun's rays.
"Ha ha, and a very good morning to you,"
he said as he bounced onto the stage.
"And a very good morning to you."
They all said in unison.
"My apologies. I had a brief argument with the sun this morning, as I thought it rose much too early."
The mayor wiped his brow, and the crowd of gnomes chuckled at his joke.
"Well, well, what do we have here? Looks like we have some gnomes that are ready to be named."
The crowd cheered.
"Very good, very good. Well, I won't stand in their way any longer. Let's get to the naming."
At this, the gnomes cheered even harder. Once the crowd died down, the mayor brought out a thick scroll and opened it, then began with the name on the top of the list.
Abigail Applewood.
A young gnome girl with red hair stood up and bashfully made her way to the stage. Bartimus knew this girl well enough. A few weeks ago, she got in the way of one of his experiments and wound up with a hair full of sap. From the looks of things, she was able to get most of it out without cutting off too much of her hair. Abigail stood next to the mayor and faced the town. The mayor put a gentle arm around her shoulder in an attempt to comfort her nerves.
"Now, young Abigail, from henceforth, throughout these lands and the lands beyond, what shall your name be?"
A hush enveloped the crowd as they all waited for the first name to be spoken. Abigail shifted her feet uncomfortably, then looked up at the mayor, then back to the crowd. She muttered something, but it was too soft to hear. So the crowd grew quieter still. Even the gentle wind ceased. Abigail looked at the mayor again, then back to the crowd, and said again,
"Abigail Applewood."
The crowd erupted with shouts of praise and congratulations. The Applewoods were very happy that she decided to remain an Applewood.
"Very well, very well," began the mayor. "Abigail Applewood shall remain Abigail Applewood."
The mayor clapped as Abigail left the stage and ran to her family, who greeted her with a big hug. The mayor began to read off more and more names. Cindy Brewbeans became Cindy Acorn Finder. Trat Dilroot became Trat Barkmaster. Umin Drinks became Umin Wyrmling, while Helg Argleaf remained Helg Argleaf, and Boris Brewer remained Boris Brewer. Soon the mayor would be calling Bartimus's name, and Melon Figleaf, his father, was worried. Over the last several years, his son had been known as the village trickster, prankster, and charlatan. Melon tried his best to raise his son right. The first few turned out so well, but he could now begin to feel the other parents' eyes on him. He could almost hear their voices.
"What's your son gonna do this time?"
Or,
"How is your son gonna mess up the sacred naming ceremony?"
Melon just shut his eyes and prayed that this all would be over soon and nothing would go wrong. The mayor looked at the next name on the list and paused. Everyone knew who was next, even before the mayor said,
"Bartimus Figleaf."
Bartimus grinned from ear to ear. He stood up, and the gnome crowd went silent. There was no applause, no cheering, nothing. Bartimus turned to look at his family. His father had his eyes closed, and his mother was looking at the ground, probably saying a silent prayer. The only friendly face he saw was his older sister, Gina, who smiled at him and gave him a thumbs up. Bartimus ran a hand through his jet black hair as he made his way to the stage. He looked nothing like the other gnomes of his village, and he liked it that way. Most gnomes in Bristlebriar, dressed in various greens or blues, grays and reds, all muted and relaxed colors. They also always made sure not a hair was out of place before exiting their homes. Not so for Bartimus, whose hair was a ransacked mess of raven black, and who dressed in brilliant deep colors. Today, Bartimus wore his favorite dark purple robe that had bright green stitched in various places. He had purchased this robe from a traveler who claimed the robe would help the young gnome with magic. Then naturally, it became his favorite item of clothing. The mayor watched as Bartimus stepped up on stage and stood next to him. Although the mayor couldn't prove it, he was sure that Bartimus was behind the contraption that exploded in his garden, destroying his prized pumpkin.
"Bartimus Figleaf."
The mayor's voice was devoid of all charm and grandeur.
"From henceforth and throughout these lands, and the lands beyond, what shall your name be?"
The words fell out, lifeless and as cold as stone. Bartimus looked to the crowd, then back to the mayor, the smile never leaving his face. His brilliant blue eyes scanned the audience one last time. He was happy to be finally leaving this place. No longer would these gnomes hold him back. He was to be his own person. He knew he was destined for greater things than Bristlebriar had for him. Then, in a voice, both triumphant and loud, he said his new name.
"Bartimus Tinkerpot!"
The gnomes all gasped. His father let his head fall into his hands. His mother began crying. The mayor looked too shocked for words. He just stood there, looking at Bartimus, opening and closing his mouth wordlessly. No one in this town's history had ever taken a non-forest, non-nature name. Tinkerpot was a name that only would be found among the gnomes of the north. But Bartimus was not done with his display of shock and wonder. For years they had looked down their noses at him, judging him for dabbling with various magic books. He would also be scrutinized for every little invention he created, telling him a good gnome would have no need for gears and wrenches. Now was the time that he would go down in history. He would manifest all their worst fears.
"Now, I, Bartimus Tinkerpot, will become a master illusionist."
The mayor lurched out to grab him, but before he could, Bartimus snapped his fingers, and a long, large, shadowy snake crawled out of his mouth. The snake raised up and looked at the gnomes and lunged forward. The gnomes screamed. And just as the snake was about to hit the crowd, it turned into black butterflies and dispersed. They looked to the stage. The mayor was hiding behind the podium, but there was no Bartimus. After several minutes of searching for Bartimus, the gnomes got back to their naming ceremony. The fig leaves slowly made their exit. They made their way back home, where they found Bartimus standing outside of their home. He had a large bag strapped to his back and a walking cane in his hand.
"You! How could you do that?"
his father said, coming forward.
"Relax, Pops. You won't have to see me anymore. I'm leaving. I'm headed north, and I don't plan on returning."
Melon looked at his son, then, not knowing what else to say, turned and walked into the house. His mother, with tears in her eyes, tried to say something, but it just came out as a sobbing mess. Then she, too, followed Melon inside. His brother, Gilder Cobbler, looked at him and shook his head.
"You've done it this time, Bartimus. I hope the town disowns you."
"I've already disowned them first, Gidler."
"Why don't you just leave, so we don't have to see your face after such a display of atrocity?"
Gidler turned, then went inside after his parents. Gina was the only one left in the road. She had a huge smile on her face, though her eyes showed sadness.
"Gidler is right, you know. You've really done it this time."
"Ah, well, I wanted to give them something to remember me. It does me good to know that I could become a cautionary tale for young gnomes."
Gina chuckled.
"Well, that's true. I can just see them all now saying to their younglings, if you don't eat everything on your plate, the dreaded Bartimus will come and put snakes in your bed."
They both laughed.
"Will you write?"
Gina asked as tears began to fill her eyes.
"As often as I can."
Bartimus gave her a sad smile.
"Though, I probably should use an alias so no one throws my letters away."
Bartimus paused for a moment to think of a quick name.
"Yick of Yonder Town."
Gina laughed and wiped a tear from her eye.
"Yick from Yonder Town?"
"Yeah,"
Bartimus continued.
"Just tell them I'm a fig leaf farmer who lives in the West, and we are discussing fig leaf growth in different climates."
Gina laughed again and pulled him into a hug. After a moment, Bartimus pulled away and gave her a smile, then turned and began to walk down the road. He stopped after a few steps, then turned around.
"Do me a favor, Gina."
"Sure,"
she nodded. Bartimus looked at her, then said,
"When you tell your kids stories of me..."
Gina cut him off.
"It'll be stories of Bartimus Tinkerpot, the wise and clever."
Bartimus bowed low to her, then turned on his heel and set off down the road to his new adventure.